Good. So, welcome everyone. Nice to be here. Really nice to be here having this opportunity for purifying our mental continuum, which is something that we should do more often, probably. And so we'll go ahead, we'll combine some moments of explanation and sharing and question and answers. And remember, this afternoon we have an extra hour for those who want to go into more detail into the sadhana or anything else. And we'll combine this with practice, mainly practice of the sadhana. And in this session, we'll do the daily practices as well to put our mind into frame. We'll do some meditation also, Lambrim meditation at some moments, and that's what we're gonna be doing. So I'll first like to ask you how you feel. Not that you need to answer to everyone, but to check within yourselves. If you wanna share anything, that's fine, that's good. Whether you wanna speak or you wanna use the chat. Otherwise, we just check how we're feeling in terms of in our life right now, and also in our being here doing retreat, Vaishasatva purification. So we might feel tired. This year has been quite tiring for everyone. So there's this kind of feeling. I was reading the other day that the predominant emotion in 2021 will be probably languishing. Like we're not at the beginning of the pandemic, it was kind of an anxious time. What's gonna be fear and everything. And now as time goes by, some of us, we go into depression, but mostly there's a lot of, I was reading, languishing is like in between, you know, kind of life continues, but not much able to focus or not very able to feel joyful with life and with what we're doing. So we might feel like this, it's fine, it's where it is. Or we might find ourselves being maybe tight when we do retreat. Sometimes we feel tight. Now I'm in retreat, you know, now I focus, now the mantra, now the practice and the sadhana. If this is how you feel at some point during the retreat or during the moments in which you're sharing the mantra recitation or the sadhana. If you feel like that, just try to relax, which is easier to say than to do. No. And we do this kind of especially when we're able to realize that we're pushing too much. You know, this is what prevents us from relaxing, that we keep adding pressure and tightness and a sense of seriousness into what we're doing. So when we realize we're doing that, just back off, kind of don't add pressure. It's like we were doing yesterday with settling the body. If you feel you're tensing your muscles, just release tension. It's not tell yourself to relax. It's just if I'm like that, I'm adding pressure there, right? So just stop adding pressure. And there's a relaxation there. So we do this with body and with mind as well. And also don't focus here in the heart too much because it can block ourselves. Just we need to try to keep our mind, a wide mind, open, amplitude, you know, not me reciting the mantra there, reciting the mantra there, but kind of the experience of being here. There's mantra recitation, there's showering from Vaishasatva, pouring down this feeling, body, speech, and mind. So try to make the boundaries of your mind not limited here in the visualization, right? But just whole experience, even the the noises around that there can be or wherever, just let it be around. You know what I mean? It's a matter of practicing. It's a matter of practicing. Just check continually from time to time, check body and mind. And if you feel the tension, just relax it. And it keeps coming. I mean, we can, maybe we've been meditating for years, at least is my experience, but it keeps coming less and less by the time. But it's important whether we have been meditating for a long time or not to keep an eye on that. It's just, we're doing it and that's good. Okay. So we're going to set our minds up for the practice, and then I might share something else I'd like to share. There's plenty of things I'd like to share, so I'll pick some. You know, if at any moment you wanna, unless we're doing the practice, ask someone or something, sorry, or share anything or have any question, just let us know. So we can start by settling our bodies and minds here where we are. We take a few moments in silence to check how our bodies and minds are right now. And if we notice any tension, we release it a little bit. We open our minds, we let it be as expansive as it can get, just naturally. It comes a lot when we don't try to squeeze ourselves into something, being something, doing something, visualizing, just make your mind wide here. Notice the environment, the body, mental, emotional state as well. We try to find a balance between being present, but not tight. We do this in silence for a while. And we can use the breath to anchor our being here if you want. If you notice any tension in the body, just release the adding more tension into it. Just release a little bit the muscles. Also in the face, the jaw. We can even smile a little bit. It can help. Soften the eyes, as well. If you can release some seriousness here. It's just good that we're doing this. So that's it. And we can recall our motivation, why I am here. There can be many answers to that. So pick some that it makes it for you worthwhile being here now. And we can widen our motivation by thinking we're not alone in the world, by thinking of other beings, those whom we know, those whom we haven't ever met, at least in this life. We tend to forget them because we're so caught up into our daily things, into our small world. So now is a moment that we can take for widening our mind, including others. We're all trapped in this samsaric existence, in this samsaric mind, which is just driven by the conditions there are, the inner and outer conditions. When it's good, it feels good. It feels we don't need to do anything. It kind of goes all right many times. And when it doesn't go well, the way we want, the way we like, it's painful. And it has really painful things, and we don't choose. We don't have the power to choose. We're so trapped into karma and afflictions. It's just how it is. It's like this for everyone. So let's try to do this practice for everyone so that we can do something. So with this, we connect with refuge and bodhicitta, and we're going to go through the daily prayers. Charlotte can show them to us if we don't have them printed. So as we go through them, we try to contact with the meaning of the words. Spiritually has a poetic language, and this helps us. It's good. It's nice. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We will pause a little bit to contact with the meaning of the words. So imagine that by doing this practice, we can just give a little bit of more happiness to others. Imagine they find what they need. Take contact with their inner, more precious nature. And we can contribute to that. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And the seven limb prayer. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginning this time. I rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. In our merit as well, in our practicing as well, in our making effort. And joyous effort as well. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. And as we offer the mandala, we can imagine all becomes a pure, beautiful land, which means purified, beautiful minds, bodies and speech, and we offer this ground. Sa shi po ki ju shi me tu tram ri ra lin shi ni Sangye Shindu Mite Uwagi Joku Nanda Shila Shopasho Guru Rana Mandala Kaniyata Yami. We'll do the Parsasada purification practice now. And first, I'd like to read something. This is Rob Priest preparing for Tantra. It's about the preliminary practices and the psychology behind them. It's a very beautiful bridge between the two worlds, the more esoteric world of these practices and our minds and psychology and our daily lives, which we need to work with. And I want to read something so that we have it with ourselves when we purify. There are two levels of purification described in the Tibetan tradition. One is the wrong actions, negative actions that leave traces in the mind that endlessly ripen in suffering. So is what we've done, that it gets stuck here. And this happens because there's a reflection. When we harm someone or when we harm ourselves, try to take this not as only as conceptual, but as a meditation. There's some reflection. We're kind of a mirror. We are empathic beings. There's some kind of vibration there, and our minds are connected. So there's an experience of harm. The other being is experiencing harm. And we notice this. Sometimes it's more conscious. Sometimes it's less conscious. But there's an effect. This has put a seed on our mind, or more than a seat, a configuration. It has stepped on our mind. So it stays there. And this is an experience of suffering This is what why it's called negative karma, negative actions, because just because of the result is suffering. So when the conditions will come, this ripens in which form? Suffering. And many times we don't realize until we suffer, but we don't know what we've done, what there is there configuring our minds. So this is one of the things we try to purify, we try to get rid of when we purify. And the second level of purifications, it's called obscurations. There are two types of obscurations. One are afflictive or more emotional obscurations. It's just a veil that we have there. It says our mind is continually caught in emotional and delusional habits, which fill it with all a manner of conceptual clutter and distorted views of the world and our experiences. So it's veils and it's habits and tendencies. We tend to feel the same kind of emotions. We tend to do the same kind of actions, and we tend to have the same kind of tendencies. When this person tells me that, I react like this. It's always the same. It's kind of boring because it's so ingrained there. It's just there, and it's emotional, and it's also cognitive, because there's delusion in the way we perceive things. We always perceive them in the same way somehow. And this has also two levels, this level and the level cognitive seeds, cognitive, how is it called here? I want to use the same words. Well, it's the cognitive veils that prevents us from Buddhahood, from omniscience. So there's something there that makes us perceive everything as inherently existent. That's us being there. We cannot perceive all the potential of reality, all the ways reality can be expressed, all the richness and all the potential in which we can experience things and things can be experienced. We'll go into that later. But this is the most subtle level, and we also purify this when we're doing practice of Vajrasattva. And what I wanted to read is, which is important, you say we touched that too. Purification or healing. We're purifying all these things, but something that is usually not explained in traditional teachings is this, the healing part. And this, I'm reading, pertains to something that has happened to us, not that we have done to others. It's something that happened to us, that has resulted in some form of bounding or trauma. This is the kind of experience that leaves someone with painful trauma that can have a profound effect upon much of his or her emotional life. And we all have these different levels. Some of us, we have suffered a lot or very heavy things happened to us. Some of us, not so much, but even when we were a little child in school, someone told us anything that made us feel worthless, this gets stuck inside. And then we don't know why we feel worthless, or we don't find enough strength within ourselves or things like that. They pop up, they happen, or we feel kind of insecure or this kind of low self-confidence, these kind of things, they get here, they get stuck here, and we need to heal them as well. We cannot make a quantum leap from being mundane beings into the spiritual path. Now I'm going to save all sentient beings. Unless we deal with our things, we will not be able to get enlightened as well. You know what I mean? We need to work with what we are now, what we're experiencing now with our daily lives. We cannot do a kind of a spiritual bypass and overcome these kind of things, because now I'm going to be a bodhisattva or whatever, because this is there. And we don't know it, we don't realize it, but it's preventing us from going ahead. Because we don't feel we can, or because we feel pain inside, and we need to heal these things. The bodhisattva is a being who's extremely self-confident in a good sense. It's extreme inner strength, you know, and confidence. So the effect of wounding and trauma on our spiritual practice also needs to be cleared. Traditionally, there's an emphasis on clearing the negative things we may have done in our life, but the bounding effect of things that have been done to us is equally important to be cleared. So, yeah. So when we recite the mantra, we can think of these things. Sometimes we only try to purify our negative actions and also vows and promises which we haven't been able to keep. We purify with Vajrasattva. Also our, if we have some negative things with our teachers and so on, we can purify this we do, but we can take a few moments also to purify things that we feel we need to heal and don't feel bad because of doing this. I mean, I shouldn't be thinking only of myself. No, if we don't go through this process, we won't be able to really heal and really help others. So that's good. Is there any question? Otherwise, we go with practice. And I want to go through the sadhana also, explain a little bit the sadhana, but maybe we just do it now, and in the afternoon we can explain a little bit more the sadhana. Just for those of you who strange this, all these offerings and wisdom beings and empowering deities and all of this, just go with it and we'll explain it. Just think that by doing this, the offerings, we open our minds, we keep we put our minds in a state of generosity and openness and joy, because the offerings are beautiful, what we're offering. So this is a way of, very skillful way of helping us put our mind in a nice, joyful, not attached state. And then the empowering deities, the wisdom beings, I'll explain in more detail, but they just strengthen our visualization because and our feeling of Vajrasattva being here. First is we imagine, then no, the actual energy is coming. In case we weren't feeling it with the wisdom beings, it's boom. It's like an extra help we have here. And then the empowering deities, they do the same. They empower Vajrasattva we imagine it gives full strength, but not only Vajrasattva on our crown, is it empowers our own capacity for purification. This is the meaning and the psychology, not only psychology, but also the spiritually and contemplative technique. It's almost magical because we don't see it, but there's movement of energy there. And this, by doing all these things, we try to put our minds into this movement of energy and strengthening eat. Does it make sense? So we can go into more detail later, but don't try. Of course, we need to understand what we're doing, but sometimes this is preventing us from doing it. Just trust is happening somehow. Okay. So we can take a few moments to settle down again in contact with our capacity for purification and our motivation. Don't force it, it's just contacting with it. For the practice, we also keep an eye on our bodies and mind from time to time. If we detect we are pushing, we release a little bit. We use the amount of energy necessary for being here with an open mind, but just the right amount. Don't try to push it more, don't try to make perfect visualizations, don't try to force what is not there. Just happening. We're just doing it. It's we're using our inner wisdom, our innate capacity for healing, for purifying. All these stains, they are superficial. They can go away. So we're strengthening our own capacity and wisdom and compassion here, which are innate in our minds. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother, your enemy, and those sentient beings who make you agitated are in front of you. People you're attached to are seated behind you. All other universal living beings are surrounding you. Visualize standing Heruka embracing Vajrayana as your principal refuge object. Around him are the Dakas and the Kinis, wrathful gods and peaceful goddesses, and many other Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Arhats, who have completely attained the everlasting peaceful realization of enlightenment. There are 62 different deities in the Heruka Mandala. So we contact with our mind of refuge. If we open to receive help, we receive help. Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, all these great beings are around. By the force of our meditation, this energy is here now in front of us. And by contacting with them, we're contacting with our inner refuge as well, our inner capacity and potential and future Buddhahood. We can take refuge and contact with the mind of bodhicitta. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the dakas and the kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the dakas and the kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the dakas and the kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the ten bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I must become Heruka or enlightened in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. The objects of refuge then melt into light and dissolve into Heruka, who in turn melts into light and dissolves into you. If you have received the highest yoga tantra empowerment of Heruka, then self-generate in that aspect or in the aspect of the deity you have received the empowerment of. If you do not have such an initiation, skip the next lines of self-generation and continue with the practice on the following page. Next page. So we absorb the refuge and we become one with all the objects of refuge and with our teachers. And instantaneously, I arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two arms holding Dorje and bell. For those who have received the empowerment. Otherwise, just skip this line. And now for all of us, Heruka Vajrasattva on top of our head. Out of the void, about 6 inches above the crown of my head, appears the seed syllable Pam, which transforms into a 1,000-petal lotus. On top of the lotus appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a moon disk. In the center of the moon disk stands the seed syllable, Hum. Suddenly, the Hum transforms into a white five-pronged Vajra with a Hum at its center. Much radiant light emanates from both the Hum and the Vajra, going out into the 10 directions and completing the two purposes, offering great psychic, blissful energy to all gurus and Buddhas, and purifying the defilements of all sentient beings. The whole universe melts into light. This light then returns and is absorbed by the Hum in the Vajra. The Hum and Vajra also melt into light and transform into Heruka Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva is white. He has one face and two arms. Sitting in the full lotus position, he holds a Vajra in his right hand at his heart and a bell in his left, which rests in his lap. His consort Dorje Nyingma Karmo embraces him, her legs encircling his body. She too is white and has one face and two arms. She holds a curved knife in her right hand and a skull cap in her left. They are both dressed in robes of heavenly silk and adorned by precious jewel ornaments. They both have seed syllables Om at the crown chakra, A at the throat chakra, and Hum at the heart. Brilliant light radiates from the Hum at the heart, invoking the divine, supreme wisdom energy of all the Tathagatas to the space in front of Vajrasattva in the form of the wisdom beings. You can imagine that these wisdom beings, they have the same form as Heruka Vajrasattva. Om Kendaro hi hon hum pe on shoa shuda sarva dharma shoa shudo hum. All is void. Out of the void appears a seed syllable A. It turns into a huge white skull cup containing the five meats and nectars. They melt, becoming an ocean of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom. Om Hum Ha Ho Ri, Om Hum Ha Ho Ri, Om Hum Ha Ho Ri. We present the offerings to the wisdom beings. Om Vajrasattva Arga Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Padya Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Pupe Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Dupe Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Aloke Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Gende Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Nyude Pratisha Hunsaha. Om Vajrasattva Vajrasattva Pratisha Hunsaha. Jahumbam Ho. The wisdom beings, they become non-dual with the Heruka Vajrasattva on top of our crown. The wisdom beings who are the wisdom energy of all Tathagata joyfully sink into Vajrasattva's divine heart, becoming completely one, like a drop of water sinking into the ocean. And now the empowerment. Again, brilliant light rays radiate from the Hum at the divine heart, invoking all the initiating deities of the five families. And we make offerings to them. Om Penchakula Sapariware Argam Padyam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Sapa. O Tathagatas, please bestow me the Heruka Vajrasattva initiation. Upon this request, all the Tathagatas hold up their initiation vases, which are full of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom, and the Amrita starts to flow. Om The divine body of perfect absolute wisdom, Herukavajrasattva, is completely filled with the Amrita energy of blissful transcendental wisdom. Some Amrita overflows and transforms into Akshobhya, who adorns Vajrasattva's crown. The initiation deities melt into light and sink into Vajrasattva. At the center of a moon disk at the divine heart stands the seed syllable HUM, encircled by the 100 syllable mantra, standing counterclockwise around the edge of the moon disk. So we can take a moment to contact with this energy of complete purity, Vajrasattva. Heruka Vajrasattva, Father, Mother. This is the complete purity of our own minds. We're going to contact with them. So by this, we're contacting with our own inner purity. We make offerings. Om Vajrasattva Argam Paryam Pupe Lupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shab. Pratisha Hunsa Ham. Om Vajrasattva Om Ahum. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings. Indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. We offer the short mandala. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with one meru for continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine these as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings thus enjoy this pure land. The right view of Sunyata is one with the wisdom great bliss. This wisdom transforms into one meru, the sun, the moon, and all other phenomena in the universe. I offer everything magnificent to you, ocean of great kindness, who are liberated and who liberates all mother sentient beings as well. The objects of my attachment, aversion, and ignorance, friends, enemies, and strangers, and my body, wealth, and enjoyments. Without any sense of loss or hesitation, I offer this collection. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me and all sentient beings with freedom from the three poisons. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kaniryatayami. Now the power of regret, we contact with the things we want to purify here. Through ignorance and delusion, I have broken and damaged my pledges. Holy Guru, who has the power to liberate me, my inner master, holder of the Vajra, whose essence is great compassion, Lord of all migratory beings, to you I go for refuge. O Bhagavan Vajrasattva, destroyer of all defilements, who has attained all realizations and has passed to the other shore, I request you to please purify all negativities and broken and damaged pledges of myself and other sentient beings. So we stop here. And recall what we have said before. We contact with all we need to purify. Another purification, the power of remedy. Because of this request, brilliant light radiates from the mantra rosary and the hum at the divine heart of Arshasattva. The light purifies all negativities and obscurations of all sentient beings and becomes an offering for all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The essence of the perfect qualities of their holy body, speech, and mind, all their transcendental knowledge, wisdom, returns in the form of light that sinks into the hum and the mantra rosary at Vajrasattva's divine heart. From the hum and the mantra rosary, a stream of blissful white amrita energy begins to flow down through the central channel of the divine couple. The amrita flows out through their secret chakras in union and flows into me through my crown chakra. Flowing down through my central channel, this stream of transcendental wisdom, amrita energy, fills my whole body, destroying all negativities and defilements of my body, speech, and mind. These are completely purified. And we can visualize the negativities and obscurations and everything related to the body. All the negativities going down, exiting from below, those of a speech from above, and those of mind, they get clarified and purified just by the light entering and completely filling us. You can take a few moments for each or as you need. We can do general purification or we can stop at different things as we recite the mantra. Om Vajra Heruka Samaya Manupalaya Heruka Dena Patita Adita Mevawa Satukaya Mevawa Supokaya Mevawa Anurata Mevawa Savasi Mevrayatsa Sawaka Machuchame Chicham Chiram Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Vajra Heruka Mame Muta Heruka Vava Maha Samaya Saba Ahum Pe Om Vajra Heruka Samaya Manupalaya Heruka Dena Patita. Let the conscious be open, the mantra to continue to vibrate if it does. Connect with a sense of purification. Imagine body, speech, mind completely filled with this energy. White, clear, light and nectar, completely filling us. And all the negativities, oscurations and so on, dissolved, gone. So imagine this purity and remain there. Body, speech, and mind completely filled. I recall emptiness. Even though everything appears inherently existent to us, no phenomenon has inherent existence. Every phenomenon is totally empty of inherently existing. It is interdependent. In emptiness, there is no I, no creator of negative karma, no action of creating negative karma, and no negative karma created. So now it's purified karma. It changed. And we can make offerings and praise. It's Thanksgiving. Om Vajra Sarva Argam Padyam Pupeduce Aloke Om Vajra Sarva Om Ahum. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings, and this is due to indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, or mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. Vajrasattva says, O child of good family, your negativities and obscurations and damage and broken pledges are cleansed and purified. Think that what Guru Vajrasattva says has actually happened. All your negativities have been completely purified, with no slightest trace of defilement left on your mental continuum, which is completely pure. Now the power of restraint, from now on I will abstain from all devices that I can abstain from, and I'll abstain from those that are extremely difficult for me to abstain from, for one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, or at least a few seconds. So we make this promise with something in particular, and we're realistic in what we promise. Your vow to abstain from creating negative karma pleases Guru Vajrasattva, who will now melt into light and absorb into you. Those who have received a great initiation meditate on the Guru entering to the heart, otherwise the Guru enters between the eyebrows. In either case, it blesses body, speech, and mind. Dorje Nyima Karma is transformed into light and is absorbed into Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva then melts into light and sinks into my heart. My three doors of body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Vajrasattva's holy body, speech, and mind. Vajrasattva and I are completely one, and I enjoy the bliss of sunyata in full samadhi, beyond the dualistic view that discriminates between subject and object. This is the highest possible enjoyment. I recall emptiness while doing so. We can take it. Because of this merit, may he quickly become Heruka Vajrasattva and lead each and every sentient being into his divine enlightened realm. May the precious body mind not yet born arise and go, and may that born have no decline but ever increase forevermore. And we can dedicate in our own way. We can dedicate also that Dharma continues to be in the world, that we continue to find it, that it can enlighten beings because this is who we are, and that our gurus have healthy, long lives and continue to teach the Dharma. And we can continue to receive it and be part of their mandala. And by doing so, others can also meet the Dharma and release suffering. So, thank you very much. We can dedicate also that we always find good conditions, and if we don't find it, that we can overcome them, and we find our inner confidence and a strength that we need in the path, and good friends along it. So, thank you. If there's any question, we can take a quick one. I'm going to write the name of the book, so it's been asked. It's Rob Priest, Preparing for Tantra. These are powerful practices. Remember that when we contact with Vajrasattva, we're contacting with our own Vajrasattva, with our own inner nature and capacity for healing and purifying. So all that we say, please Vajrasattva, we're saying it also to our own capacity. It's ourselves as well. So we are awakening, we're activating our own capacity. Yeah.
Yeah, could I ask, yesterday you talked about the general Vajrasattva and the specific Vajrasattvas. I don't understand the relationship between the two.
It's Vajrasattva is the general capacity of purification and purity. It's pure purity and wisdom and compassion is the enlightened mind, which is specifically manifesting the capacity for purification and purity itself. This is Vajrasattva, and it manifests in this form, which has an effect into us. It's completely white, it's completely pure, right? And it sends all this energy, which has this capacity of purification. This is universal. And by visualizing this, by imagining this, there's something innate. It activates our subtle mind in an innate way. So, for instance, in psychology, it's very well studied. When we see a red color, it activates within us, because we are all same karma, humans and so on, same kind of minds. It activates, for instance, craving sometimes, or wanting these. No, so purity, white thing, it activates this sense of clarification, right? And like, so this is general, but then there are different practices in which we work with Vajrasattva, with the energy of Vajrasattva. So there's this practice with the short Vajrasattva meditation from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, for instance. It uses Vajrasattva father and mother. It's union of masculine and feminine, but it uses a general mantra. This is kind of, it's universal, right? But when you do this Vajrasattva practice in the context of another tantric practice, as we're doing now, we're doing Vajrasattva in the context of Heruka practice. The Heruka practice shapes a little bit the mantra of Vajrasattva. The name, the words in the mantra of Vajrasattva. For instance, it takes the name of Heruka Vajrasattva. And it's connected with the kind of energy that Heruka has. We can have the same with Yamantaka, for instance. We do Vajrasattva also when doing the Yamantaka practice, but it can take the mantra, the vibration of Yamantaka, so the purification within the context of the practice of Yamantaka, and this with different practices. It's only this. It's just like this. Okay. Does it answer us?
Yeah, no, that's great. But in terms of the mantra, in terms of this retreat, then I shouldn't be doing the general mantra. I should be doing the Heruka mantra.
Well, you could be doing the general mantra as well. If you're used to the general mantra and this is your practice, you can use the general mantra here as well. If you feel more comfortable, it's fine.
Okay.
If we were doing Heruka retreat, within the Heruka retreat, there is always in the sadhana a part which is Vajrasattva purification, then we would be doing Heruka.
Yeah, okay.
Heruka Vajrasattva mantra. But you can do the general one if you feel more comfortable with it.
Well, it's just I'm more familiar with it.
No problem then. You go with the one you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I've sent to Julie some things. It's one PDF. There's the meaning of the mantra there with word by word. There's also a breathing exercise which is mentioned in the sadhana, so that you have it. And there's also the explanation. I can share just very fast. See, meaning of the mantra. This comes from the book of preliminary practices, but I thought it's good that you have it. How to purify. So this is what I said, the energy coming down and purifying the body from below, and then the speech from above, and then the mind, it's explained here, and the breathing exercise, which is mentioned in the sadhana as optional. So you'll have this as a resource if you want. Okay, so we see each other later. Okay, Joanna.
You mentioned that we're doing an extra hour this afternoon.
So yeah.
We're doing 3 until 5:30, are we?
We'll do 3 until 4:30. Then we can take maybe 5 minutes pause. And then those who want some clarification or going into more detail into the sadhana, we'll do this hour. Okay. Good. So thank you. Enjoy your meals and pause. And we can think that we're eating. For all sentient beings, we can offer the food. And that's it. And enjoy it. Okay. Thank you. See you later. Bye.